Say it's good to see each and every one of you. Glad that you're here and able to be here. This morning, I actually have, chose the final song that Brother Terrence is going to sing for us this morning for a closing song. It's 258. There you go, my little button pusher thing here just didn't want to work. Because the very first line of that song is what I want to talk about within the lesson. The very first verse says, "If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal shore." And when we sing that afterwards, let's think a little more closely about what we're singing on that. And hopefully what we discuss will help your thoughts on that song. You know, like Brother Terrence says quite often in his training, it's good to get better at our singing, understand, what we're singing. But the most important part is understanding the words. So with this closing song, if we can say, "If for the prize we have striven," can we really say that as we should? And like I said, that'll be at the close, that 258. As well, this lesson is not really going to be a lesson on first principles, on what it takes to become a child of God, but it is more along the lines for the child of God, the Christian that has obeyed the gospel, and the ideal of living our life unto the end. Notice it in my title as well. I've got some little quotes on three words. If, that's a condition. In geometry, they're starting some change up our standards again this next year, and we'll have a lot of those if and then statements that I'll be teaching. Conditional statements. If this is in place, then this will happen. So same thing with this. If, and then the prize, heaven, of course, is what we're talking about. And then we've got the ideal of fulfilling that condition, and that's striven. If we truly have striven, then we can think about gaining that prize. And that's what that song 258 is talking about as well. So let's first start with just the ideal of striven, being defined. What does that mean? There's two parts to it. The first part is to exert much effort or energy, to endeavor. So the ideal of striven is to really pour some effort into that, pour some energy into it, truly endeavor to, like we're talking about, to gain that prize. The second part is actually to struggle, fight forcefully, contend. So the ideal of not just us putting, energy into it, like learning and working at that, but actually fighting for it. Working for that purpose of spreading the gospel in the case we're going to talk about, contending for the faith, standing up for what's right, not backing down from the truth ever. And that's going to take a lot of energy. That's going to take a lot of effort that we've got to pour into our daily life. So I've actually broke these apart. We're going to talk about some verses for each one of them. So the first part, was to exert much effort or energy, to endeavor. So we're going to talk about how to exert some effort or energy. The first thing that would come up would have to be a desire for it. A desire of the mind to truly want to take and live that way, to live a life, to gain the prize, to be with our Lord. A desire of the mind. I've got a verse on the screen. I think all my verses this morning are on the screen. But Deuteronomy 18, verses 6 through 7. Deuteronomy 18, verses 6 through 7 says, "And if a Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel, where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, which stand there before the Lord." So a condition here talking about the Levite. Now this is under the old law priesthood with the Levites ministering before God at the temple. And it talks about one that has been away. Now if he comes to work for the Lord and he has a desire of his mind, and that's where I'm pulling that set of words, is the ideal that he's coming to serve the Lord. That is his purpose. That's his mindset about this. That if he comes unto the place, as in, say, like the temple, he's coming to do the work of the Lord. If he's got the mind to do it properly, then the Lord's telling him, let him work, just like the rest of his brethren. Even though he's been gone, this sojourning away, traveling away, let him get into the work Let him do that work. All right, now when we start putting that to us today, you know, as a child of God, you know, talking about serving God faithfully, the only way we're going to truly serve him faithfully or correctly is if we have the right desire of the mind. You know, it's our goal. It's our purpose. It's what we're about. It's who we are. You know, it's all of those things. I truly want to serve God. I want to put him first and foremost in my life. I want to learn of him. I want to live his law. I want to follow the example of Christ. So that desire of the mind. And with that, if you have that desire, then it's going to be real easy to put forth some effort and energy, right? Think about any other thing in this life that we have a desire to accomplish or do. You know, maybe it's a hobby. You know, that's one of those things, you know, we do. It's a hobby, and the reason it's a hobby is because we like it. Maybe it's collecting something. Maybe it's traveling to places. Maybe it's a sport, you know, baseball, basketball, soccer, or fishing, hunting, something of that nature. You know, something that we have a desire of the mind to accomplish. We want to put time and effort into it. The reason we want to put time and effort and we exert the energy to accomplish those things is because we really want to do them. It's fun. It's exciting. You know, we like it. Maybe it relieves stress. You know, there's reasons, you know, different reasons for that. But the reason we put forth all that effort, maybe to get up like on hunting season when it comes in, get up like 4 a.m, go out and sit in the woods and at dark for still 2 hours, hunt all day long and then crawl out after dark and come home. Why would you put yourself through that? Because it's a desire of the mind. You really wanted to do that. So you put forth all that extra energy for that. Do we really put that much energy into serving the Lord, though? Do we have that mindset that, you know, we take and we purposefully work towards serving him? Some more to go along with that. When I think about pouring energy into an effort, you know, and really exerting ourselves, I have to think about Nehemiah and all the children of Israel when they had come back after the Babylonian captivity. They came up, they saw Jerusalem, it was a wreck. You know, when they had been overrun, they had been conquered, there was just these huge holes in the walls. The gates were tore down, the posts, everything were ripped out, and it was just a disaster area. You know, but the people got it within their mind, and we're going to read Nehemiah 4:6 in a minute. They got it in their mind, we need to get this back together. We need to rebuild. We need to get back on track to living here at Jerusalem. Nehemiah 4:6 says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof." And why? Why did they get it built? The people had a mind to work. That's how it got built. They had a mind to work, as in it meant something to them. They wanted to accomplish this feat. Now we're going to read a little bit more because it definitely wasn't an easy feat. Nehemiah 2, verses 17 and 18. Nehemiah 2, 17 and 18 says, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." So notice the mindset, let us rise up and build. And then they put forth that energy. They strengthen their hands for that good work. Like I said, it wasn't an easy job. Not only just looking at the gates being burned, the big holes in the wall, but they had a lot of conflict from those that lived there. You know, others that lived around that area, you know, people coming in to the point that they actually had to take and keep like a weapon, right along with their tools. You know, they would have to have a sword to go right along with their trowels as they're laying the blocks back up or their woodworking tools. You constantly had to be on guard while you were building. And you're thinking, okay, well, you know, they could get that done over a long period of time. But no, they had a mindset, I'm going to get this done. Nehemiah 6:15. "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. In 52 days. So you know where we're talking here, less than 2 months having to deal with that big of a problem, you know, and it was overwhelming. They were huge holes and these gates and then the walls of Jerusalem went all the way around. This was a massive job, but also having to work, like I say, with a sword and the tool just to get it done, and got it done in 52 days. You know why that was? It goes back to they had a mind to do it. They wanted it done. You know, and the same thing's true with us when it comes to serving the Lord and spreading the word of God and doing these things that we're to do. You know, reading through the Bible, taking and learning certain topics and putting forth the effort to be more knowledgeable. If we want to do it, we'll get it done. And we won't drag it out. We'll put forth the effort to get it done. Another thing that goes along with, you know, how to exert effort and energy is don't expect others to do it for you. You know, and that's what happens too often. You know, some that have left here some years ago over some other situations, talked about those situations were fixed, asked if they would come back. And you know what the answer was? Well, where we're at, we don't have to do anything. You know, everybody does everything for us. They just expect somebody else to do the work for them. And, you know, places like that are not scriptural places as well. And they're not going to speak up. They're not going to say things because it's being done for them. You know, and that's a shame. But not only that, you know, I've heard over the years, it said in business meetings, the ideal of the preacher. All right, we pay the preacher. You know, I'm not going to mow the yard. Let the preacher mow the yard. You know, we're not going to clean the building. You know, let the preacher's wife clean the building. You know, all of these things. Because why? Because we've got him hired. He's a hired man. Yeah, you hire the preacher for a certain job, to preach the gospel. You don't hire him to mow the yard. You don't hire him to fix the roof. You don't hire him to vacuum the floor. Now, if they're going to do some of that, that's wonderful. You know, but the ideal of expecting him to do everything, or, you know, it's like, okay, and I've seen this multiple times. You know, someone comes in, they're asking for help or money or something. You know, what they usually get, they find the preacher and say, okay, they need to talk to you outside. So what they're really saying is, they're needing some help. Go give them some of your money. You know, I've seen that quite often. Brother Carl McPeak that was here one time, it was so bad, he said over the years with him preaching, that he finally in his budget just had to take and budget a certain amount of money that he would cut out for each month. And he would put that in his pocket solely for that, because nobody else really wanted to help in cases where the help could be given and they expected him to do it. You know, and you know, that's the ideal of let somebody else do it. Same thing when it comes to teaching anything, you know, doing any of the other work, you know, let somebody else do it. Here's a quote from J.G. Howland. I don't even know the guy or anything else about him, but I like what it says here. It says, God gives every bird its food, but he does not throw it into its nest. You know, think about that a minute. All right, you know, and we're tying this in with an actual verse. You know, Matthew 6:26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into their barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So think about the quote, you know, he gives every bird its food, just like it's promised here, it does. They don't have to plant, they don't have to go out and harvest, they don't have to put up in the barns, they've got food. But the Lord doesn't take that food and throw it into their nest and stockpile it for them, does he? Don't they still have to take and get out of their nest? They fly, they look for it, they pick, they get it, they eat it, they take it back to their young. You know, they might even take some back to their nest and store some. They build those nests. You know, he provides that shelter for them, but they have to do it. He's given them the means and ability to do it, but they have to do that. And then you think, okay, well, maybe he just puts that on one bird. Think about that. Is there only one bird that gathers food for all the other birds? No. Each and every bird has to take care of it own. Now, you know, there's like the male that'll get the food for the female when she's waiting, sitting on the nest, and we're all in that shape, right? We all get a point where others need to take care of us at times, do things for us. We need to do things for others at times. But the work must be done. Same thing with them. They would not live. They would not survive if they said, ask somebody else to do it for me. So yeah, when it comes to exerting effort and energy, it really boils down to individually us having a desire to do it and us getting up and doing our own part. Let's look at the second part. I got a little more to go with the second part than the first part. To struggle or fight forcefully, contend. And that contend is an important word here, because not only like, you know, fight forcefully, but contend is actually, you know, fighting for a certain purpose as well. you know, but even the idea of struggle, having to deal with issues, you know, and that could be issues over the Word of God or issues in our own personal lives. But yeah, if we're striving to get that prize, then all three of these we're going to have to deal with. Luke 13, verse 24, you know, using the same word even here, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So notice the wording of this. The wording is that the only way that you're going to be able to make it is if you strive. Because it says there are many that's going to want to go in, but they're not going to be able. And why are they not able? Because they didn't strive for it. They didn't work for it. They didn't give it that effort. You know, they think, well, like the last point, it'll just be handed to me. I'll just sit in my nest and wait for the Lord to put the food in my nest. Or I'll just get through life and I'll live according to how I want to live, and the Lord's just going to give me a home in heaven. No, you're not going to enter in. You didn't strive for it. You didn't work for it. The Lord's given us all things to do and things to be obedient toward. Paul encouraged the Romans in a single task, a task that he was doing himself, and he was asking this on his own behalf. But Romans 15:30, notice he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." So the ideal of his purpose, his work, the spreading of the gospel, dealing with all the things that he had to deal with, you know, to make that happen. And notice he says, for the Lord Jesus' sake, so the work of the Lord, you know, the love of the Spirit, spreading the word of God, the love that God has for all mankind, and that you strive together with me, like you really put forth some effort and energy with me, and something as simple as even prayer. The ideal of doing your part and working hard at it. He's like, I know that the Lord hears my prayer over this, but I want you to work with me in praying to God for this effort. So even something as simple as that, the ideal of struggling or fighting forcefully for it, working hard at it. Some points I want to make. The ideal of striving lawfully, all right? You know, because people say, well, I work hard at it. I do this, I do that, you know, in the Lord's kingdom, and I tell people about him and all that. But we need to understand that there's a right way and a wrong way to strive. When we used to build houses together, we were talking about this the other day with somebody. I don't remember who it was. We were talking about digging shovels and ditches and stuff. And my granddaddy, whose wife is in the hospital this morning, we just mentioned, but he loved to dig. I loved to dig. I don't know why that was. You know, some people just think it's the most, you know, back-breaking thing ever. And there were days that it did. But there was a right way and a wrong way to dig. You could take fellas that would come out that would be half my granddaddy's age. He would be digging at 60. And there'd be 18-year-olds even out there. And you would watch them. And it looked like they were digging to fight a fire. And then you go over and nothing's done. Just a little heap. Papa used to call them worm trails. Because that's what it looked like, a little squiggle down through the middle beside the line that they were digging by, about this deep when they needed to be about that deep and about that wide. And they'd fall for 2 hours and have a little squiggle line on top. And he's like, what have you been doing over here? And the thing is, they didn't know how to dig properly. Papa looked like he wasn't doing anything. You can ask Andy. And I think Andy may have even made a mention of that one time. He looks over there. And it doesn't look like Papa's going anywhere. And then you look back and he's 3/4 of the way down the side of the house. You're like, what is he doing? It's because you knew how to dig. Same thing when it comes to serving God. You can put a lot of energy and effort into it, but if you're not doing it correctly, you're getting nowhere. You're digging yourself a worm trail through life. So that's the ideal of striving lawfully, correctly, or according to the law of God, following his commandments to strive to that prize. So ideal, like no cheating, not trying to get away with something or do something in a different manner. And some of these topics are going to bleed together. But 2 Timothy 2:5 says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. In today's society, we've sort of moved away from this concept of mastery. But back, I don't even know, even 50, 60, 70 years, you know, back. And there's a few jobs like electrician and different things where they have like a master electrician, master carpenter, different things where you start as an apprentice and you work your way up till you can take and pass certain tests, show certain skills, and then you get a move up. Some of that is still in place, but very few. But used to be, it was always that way. You know, you would join like a guild. You know, the ideal of you would learn to master a skill. And that was your job for life. You did that because you would work for mastery. And that's what Paul is talking to Timothy about. You know, the ideal of living a Christian life, applying that same principle. You are living or striving for mastery. All right? But then he says, you're not going to get that mastery if you don't do it correctly. So the ideal of trying to cheat, you know, try to claim that you have mastered when you haven't. And then when, you know, because these guys that would go for mastery, they've got to take and do the work and present the work before like a board or a group of masters. And then they would look and say, yes, we'll accept you as a master now. And you get to carry that title. And that's why Paul's making the point to Timothy here. It doesn't matter if you strive for mastery. If you don't do it correctly, you're not going to get the mastery. So when it comes to serving God, if you don't serve Him correctly or lawfully, the words that are being used here, you're not going to get it. He's going to say no. Just like these masters would look at the individual and their work and how they're working, going about it to produce the final product, and then the final product itself, and say, no, you're not there. The Lord's going to do the same thing. No, you have not been faithful unto me. You have not done what I've asked you to do. I am not going to accept you in. You cannot have that prize that we're talking about for that final song. John 15, verses 6 and 7. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Notice the ideal of abiding in me. What the Lord is saying is if you take and live within the requirements, constraints that I have given you to be my child, then you're going to be acceptable. But if you're trying to do something else, then I'm going to remove you and throw you into the fire, as in hellfire. That's the illustration that he's given here. The ideal of cutting off the branches and all that are not growing properly, pruning up the tree or the whatever he might be talking about, most likely grapevine here, pruning up and throwing the excess, the garbage away. Because it's not acceptable. It's not growing the way it's supposed to grow. So striving lawfully once again. John 15 and 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So you know, requirements, right? The ideal of striving lawfully once again. The only way to be found acceptable is if you are in my commandments. You are being obedient unto me. You're doing it my way, the way that I've set up. Another point, you know, striving without being carried about. You know, the ideal of wandering. You know, is this sense, you know, and then we got a couple verses here that makes this point. The ideal of strange doctrines being led or carried away, Hebrews 13, 9. Be not carried about with divers or different strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So, you know, the point here, he's talking about some Judaizing teachers and different things that have come in. But the point he's making is you've been given the truth. Don't be diverted to these other things. Don't be carried about by these other things. You know, Ephesians 4:14, Paul making a very similar point here, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight or cunningness of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The ideal of not being grounded, you cannot strive for mastery. You cannot be pouring all this effort into something that's not correct. You know, if you don't have the ideal of searching the scriptures, finding that knowledge, being obedient to what the Lord's given you, if you're just taking what anybody and everybody says and just sort of picking and choosing and doing what you want, you're not going to be found acceptable. You're not going to gain that mastery. He's not going to say, well done, you good and faithful servant, come in. He's going to say, no, you're not, goodbye. So yeah, the ideal of striving, we can't think we're truly striving if we're just going here, yonder, and there, everywhere. We need to say, I am going to find the truth. That's putting forth effort and energy into that. And then I'm going to live it. And that's how you get mastery. You know, same thing, you know, when it comes to like the ideal I was talking about, like woodworking, metalworking, electrician, whatever. You can't take and say, okay, I'm going to start at the bottom, because that's what you have to do. And then you take and learn a little bit on this one, and then you decide you're going to go do something else. And then you do a little bit on that one, then you try to come back. You really got to start all over again. You're working a little bit on this one. Then you go to do something else, and then you end up coming back. And in the long run, you never get anywhere. You stay right at the bottom forever. You never grow. And that's what happens, and that's usually why this ideal of being tossed to and fro or carried about or led astray, you know, this cunning craftiness, people lying in wait to deceive you, is because you never did grow. You just sort of drifted back and forth on the same level. You never did learn. You never did find the truth. You never did get established in that, and you never did grow that, you know, in that. Another thing is striving without bitterness, because, you know, some people, they find the truth. They're willing to do the truth, and then they sort of grow to be hardened. You know, yeah, I know what I need to do. I'll just do it. But you don't really have that mindset that we started with, the true mind, the desire, the love to do it, to strive and work at it. You just say, well, this is what's required. I'll just get it done. Hebrews 12, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Excuse me. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. This bitterness, this ideal of not wanting to do it, not being diligent, not truly seeking and searching and working at it, just sort of growing hard toward it. You know, that does happen, and it's easy to happen. The ideal of, okay, I get up, I go to church on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, I got those done, check, 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 week's finished, let's move on. But that's not what it takes to serve God. That's not striving. That's just trudging through. We have to strive through sickness. You know, Philippians 2, 25 through 30, one of the individuals that the Apostle Paul really holds up as a great individual, Epaphroditus. He says, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier by your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. So, you know, the ideal of what they should have done to help Paul as him being the preacher and spreading the gospel, he was like, you know, Epaphroditus, he worked. He provided for me so I could do the work of the Lord. That's really what he's saying here. The ideal of supplying what was lacking in your service. You know, he's saying you could have covered more, helped more. He stepped up and done that. And he did that to the point of, you know, what we would say, working himself to death for him. You know, he said he was so, you know, sick nigh unto death, so that he could supply what was lacking so Paul could do the work. And that's why he talks about companion in labor and fellow soldier and your messenger, one that they had sent from their own. And then he stayed and worked hard with Paul. You know, so we strive no matter what. And that's, you know, we need to strive with patience. We need to do it without murmuring. You know, Philippians 2, 12 through 16 there says, therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The ideal of not having these murmurings, disputes, and different things. If the body of Christ is fighting itself, there is no way that it can be that light it talks about into this crooked and perverse nation. You know, like Deanna, you know, some of the things that's wrong with her is things within her are fighting itself, you know. And that keeps her from being at full strength and able to work and able to even do things for others, you know. So with that, if the body of Christ is the same thing, if there's these disputes, these murmurings, these problems, these issues within the body, there's no way we can be that body. And we're not striving to do the work of God because we're too busy striving against one another. Then we also have that word patience, you know, because there will be hard times. There will be troubling times we've got to get through. And I have one more point on that coming up. You know, we got to strive with brotherly love. And that brotherly love will keep down the murmuring, complaining, contentions. I've got Hebrews 13, 1 through 3 up here. Verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. And then it goes on talking about entertaining and doing all these other things. But really, if you have true brotherly love, it will take care of a lot of other problems. Because you're putting them before yourself. You're trying to get them to heaven as much as you're trying to get to heaven. You truly care for them. And any time that everybody is on the same page, working the same way, same purpose, everybody's striving, so much more gets done. And like I said, you know, we're all going to deal with difficult times. James 1, verses 2 through 7. James 1, 2 through 7. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know, there's difficult times. You know, you could even look at that whole toss to and fro in the sea of life. The ideal of taking and all these different, and that word divers in the King James is different temptations, different trials, different troubles. All of these things are going to come up. You know, we're going to get beat up a bit. We're going to get battered back and forth having to deal with all these things. But if we stay faithful, if we strive and work through those things, then we can have that prize. We're going to start wrapping up here. We need to understand that, you know, we can be like some that Jesus taught there as he went through cities and villages. You know, some of them didn't hear. Some of them didn't accept. You know, some of them were not willing to strive. They were not willing to take and serve him faithfully. To take and be found faithful, we're going to have to take and strive. And the time for that is now. We may not have a promise of tomorrow. You know, in the past week, you know, I was telling Seth, you know, deaths always come in threes. You know, that's just sort of like superstition, but it happens. You know, a friend of the family, our AC man, passed away. You know, then Deanna's grandmother passed away. And then Brother Swindell, he passed away all this past week. And some of those happened in a spur. Well, all three of them happened fairly in the spur of the moment. Brother Swindell had been sick for a while, but Deanna's grandmother, they thought she was fine days before, woke up, didn't want to get out of bed, didn't want to eat breakfast, was dead that evening. You know, Gus, our AC man, been working, had a stroke and died, just gone. If we're going to strive to make it to heaven, now's the time. Because you may not have any more time to work at it. It's now. You know, and there is a correct way to strive. You know, I hope I pointed that out as part of this process of needing to strive for that prize, is that there's a correct way to do it. You can work and work hard, but not be working in the right manner and serving God faithfully to get the prize. You're working against yourself. You're working to keep yourself from it. If we do not strive, we need to understand that the time will come when the door will be closed, that no more work can be done, and we will not have another chance. There'll be no more opportunities for this striving. When the Lord decides to end everything, whether it be we pass from this life and then we go on to judgment, or whether he comes back at the end of time and gets rid of everything, there will come a time when that door will be closed. Got to strive now. That's why we've chosen this final song. And hopefully, as you've listened to the lesson and you sing the words of the song as we close out, you can truly sing them with that mindset of truly striving for the prize. I want to leave you with those thoughts as we close out. If you've not obeyed the gospel, this lesson really hasn't been for you. If you want to take and sit down and talk with me about what the scriptures require for you to become a child of God, because we've talked about requirements according to the laws, according to the commandments, I'm happy to do that. But for those that have obeyed the gospel, think about your life. Are you striving in the work of God? Maybe you have give up. Maybe that tossing to and fro got you going a different direction. Fix that while you have time and opportunity. Get back to the work of God. We're happy to help this morning if you'll come forward. As together we stand and sing.
It's for the prize we have striven.